Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Gary and Kenny Show. I'm Gary Kroger in Waterloo, Iowa, and I am joined, as always, by
Ken Seisler.
Where?
In Calabasas, California. I'm pretty good. It's the holidays. It's very exciting. You know, it's my favorite time of the year. It's everybody's favorite time of the year, right?
Yeah, it's everybody's favorite time of the year for the most part, although the suicide rates go up. I mean, not to cast a ball under your
Wow, team. you just put a downer. We went in this.
I know, I did, but 15 seconds. But it's true. We have, hate to use the word, the overused word privilege, but we have the privilege to celebrate. You know, I work with a lot of homeless people. You know, we put in a new warming center here in Waterloo because we actually have a sizable homeless population. And I look at the statistics, and this time of year, as families get together, others reflect on their lives. And when they don't measure up, they get very suicide rate goes up.
So do you have a hotline number you want to share with anybody right now? Call Gary.
Just call me.
Just call Gary.
Tune into the Gary and Kenny Show because we can surely cheer you up. Yes, it is a time. I certainly celebrate. I love this whole from Thanksgiving through Hanukkah, which is, you know, through Christmas and into the
New Year. Let me tell you, it is a very special time of the year for me because it's a time of the year that I don't feel guilty that I'm not doing anything.
I totally understand.
Right.
It's how I look at Friday through Monday.
Right.
Yes, because nobody's working. It's like
nobody's working. I'm not working. Nobody's doing anything. We're all lounging around watching football. Everybody's doing that. So there's really no obligation to do anything.
Right. You can't feel good about spiking your eggnog in April.
I hate eggnog. Do you eat? Do you drink eggnog? It's disgusting.
Only with rum. And the rum makes the difference.
Is there any other time of the year that you would order an eggnog with rum?
No. Because, no, I don't like eggnog, but
to your point,
it's about perspective. This time of year, the spicy spiked eggnog comes out, and so do the decorations and the music, and so it's part of the festivity for me.
Festivities. Okay, listen, I'm not going to take that away from you. It's the holidays. I want you to be happy. I want you, you know what I want you to be, Gary? I'll tell you what I want
you to be.
I want you to be merry.
Be merry.
Yeah, it's the only holiday where people go, you never know, it's just, I wish you a Merry Saturday or a Merry Thanksgiving. It's only a Merry Christmas.
It's only a time. And sometimes it's a Happy Christmas, although it's never a Merry Hanukkah, is it?
No, it's
happy
never
Hanukkah,
Merry.
But it's never a Merry. Now, why is that?
Well, we don't do Merry, generally,
you don't
Jewish
do Merry?
People. We don't. It's not in our DNA to be Merry. It just isn't. We can be Murray.
I can always count on you, Kenny.
But we can't be
Murray.
I can
always count on you for a lame pun. Let me ask you a question, though. As I decorate my house, and, you know, look, I live in Iowa, and we have two Jews and a lot of Christians. And
wait, in all of Iowa?
No. We even have a synagogue.
Yes.
But there isn't a large Jewish population to where it's part of the fabric of our celebration.
No.
You know what I mean?
The streets are decorated
for Santa Claus. And
if
and
you
Christmas
had to guess how many Jews there were
lights.
In America, how many Jews would you say there were in America? What the population of the Jews? What?
Well, we're pushing, 380 million?
Yes.
50 million.
Wow. Is that what you think?
No, I've never thought about it.
I know. But that's what, no.
Do you know the answer?
Yes, I do. No, well,
okay,
I know the
okay,
answer.
Well,
we keep count on everything. We're very good at that.
20 million.
No. There are 300, I think there's a little bit like 350 million people in the United States. It's the population of the United States.
It's going up, 370,
The United States, which has the largest population of Jews.
Yes.
There's only 11 million of us.
Is that right?
Yeah, but we're everywhere.
Well, we know, it's according amazing. To Dave Chappelle, you're all over Hollywood, aren't you? You run that town.
It's amazing. But that's the thing. It's like when I travel outside of, you know, the metropolitan areas, you know, it's fewer and fewer and far, but people do think, and I understand the perspective, and David Chappelle, I think, did a brilliant job on that, his conversation. I understand what people are curious about, you know, Jews, that I don't see them in my neighborhood, whatever, but I turn on the TV, or I look at Congress, or I look at, right. And it's like, you know.
Let me give you the perspective of growing up in Iowa.
Yes.
We went to a Unitarian church. I did not grow up in a classic Christian environment. My
now, what does that mean exactly, Unitarian?
A Unitarian, it's basically the philosophy of living. Let's be good moral people for the here and now, as opposed to
is Jesus involved?
That's the thing, is going to the Unitarian church, we had hardcore Christians. We had our two Jews.
Mm-hmm.
We had atheists.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the spirituality of getting together and doing positive things.
Well, that's nice. It
began during Martin Luther as a sect branching off, going, well, we talk so much about the hereafter and repenting right before we die. How about living a good life now? So my parents really liked this philosophy, and I grew up with it, and I really enjoyed it. But like I said, I knew one Jewish family,
right?
And because at that time there was no synagogue, they went to the Unitarian church. So I didn't understand Hanukkah or anything. But then I went to Northwestern in theater in Chicago, and I met Jews.
Yep.
Then I went off to SNL, New York, more Jews. And then my career took me to L.A., many more Jews.
Yes.
And I don't know where the story is going.
Well, I know the story is going this, and it's an interesting question, which is how the Jews kind of ended up in the film business and in show business and in the theater. And it kind of goes, there really is a backstory on the fact that they were eliminated from so many professions. I mean, when they talk about the histories of, you know, the Warner Brothers and all of those people, they couldn't get it. They weren't allowed to get into any other professions. And this was a new business. And so they were taking risks. And a lot of them came. The only thing that they had come from was doing theater and burlesque and Yiddish theater in New York City was a big thing. And a lot of stars and a lot of writers all came out of the Yiddish theater.
I have dear friends that I used to go see Yiddish theater in New York. Yes.
Yeah. So they were actually forbidden from being in the more traditional Broadway shows and being all those kinds of things. So they kind of went to where there was, you know, not that much going on. And at the very beginning of Hollywood, they were the first ones out there to stake ground and say, well, you know, we're going to do this. But let's talk more. Let's go back to the holidays, okay?
Okay, let's go back to the holidays.
All right. So in all these holiday shows, whether it's Thanksgiving or whatever it is, there's always that point in the movie or the discussion where somebody goes, and that's what the holidays are really all about, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's always that. There's always that one. That's because that's what the holidays are really about.
Disdain for that, for the fact that it's just overplayed and it's become meaningless, or that they don't literally say, all right, let's spell it out for you. That's what the holidays are about.
I think a little bit of both.
A little bit of both?
I know I told this story last year for a holiday show when Kathy Ladin was on, but it's my favorite Christmas story. Okay. And I'm thinking if I tell it, I can tell it now, because if you tell it every Christmas, it becomes a tradition, right?
Exactly. This is
I'm not repeating myself. It's just a tradition that I tell this story.
That's lovely.
Okay.
Make it a tradition.
When I was 5 years old, I went to kindergarten. I think that was the age for most people to go to kindergarten. And in my kindergarten, people would line up outside for their particular classes. But before you lined up, everybody was just running around, fighting or whatever, and getting into things. And about the holidays, everybody was arguing, because that five-year-old thing, it was like whether or not Santa Claus was a real person or not a real person. Okay, was Santa real or not? And I was very conflicted.
You were conflicted.
I was very conflicted. I really wasn't sure which side. So finally, and I, you know, being Jewish and being very aware in those things, I mean, one of the first things you see when you're a young Jewish kid, the war had only from that time, it's 1960, so the war had only been over like 15 years. It's amazing to think about it. We were just really
talking about World War II.
Yeah.
With heavens.
True, yeah.
Vietnam? No, World War II.
World War II.
Good heavens.
And I know. And the thing was, so, you know, the whole Germany and Hitler thing was all, you know, and I knew all about it at 5 years old. So when finally the issue of was Santa Claus alive, and this is where I finally truly realized my genius. When they asked me, they said, well, Kenny, what do you think? Is there a Santa Claus or not a Santa Claus? And I said, there was a Santa Claus, but he was shot down over Berlin by the Nazis.
I remember this story now, and this belongs in the Book of Christmas.
Yes.
This is right next to the little drummer boy.
There's the little Sizzler boy. Yep.
Well, what a perfect explanation. Now, let me ask you a question.
Yes, yes.
Were you being funny as little Kenny, or was this...
No, I think I believed it. It was not... I think I was just trying... Well, I was... I think I, my concern was more about... I didn't want to get anybody mad, and I wanted everybody to be on everybody's side. Because you have to remember something. After I said that, I remember the look on all of their faces, which was, okay.
Well, that's a, okay. I haven't heard that, but
everybody,
it makes perfect sense. You wonder if some of those now continue to believe that, some of your friends, and taught their children about how Santa Claus was shot down by the Nazis.
Quite possibly.
I may Google that and just see if there's sort of a, you know.
I'm surprised they haven't done a, have they done, I see there's a new movie out with like a violent Christmas thing. Have you seen the violent Santa one?
Has there always been a horror movie of violence? Yeah.
Oh, no, they've changed Santa's image. There's a commercial now that's running where he's like a handsome guy with a short beard. I don't know if you've seen that one. Anyhow, they're reinventing Santa.
Yeah, John Hamm is Santa. Right. Yeah, well, that's the joke, though. No, Santa is still the same large elf.
No, I know, but I'm surprised that nobody really has done a movie about Santa over Berlin in 1943.
I'm surprised, too. Well, that is an interesting story, because if you're going to believe in the story of Santa covering the world, what did he do when there were V2 rockets, being fired? Maybe he was hit.
And maybe it would have been a good story. And maybe it would have been a good time for Rudolph to turn off that red nose.
And maybe it's a heroic story, because obviously Santa survived. I mean, we're still getting gifts. So somehow Santa fought the Nazis.
Yeah.
Maybe he was the key after the invasion of, you know, at Normandy. We pushed into France, and maybe, you know, Santa delivered. I'm going to stop.
No, yeah, well, you should stop.
it's not going anywhere.
But I just think it's, you know, it's something that, that nobody's. I'll try to pitch that to somebody.
Did you ever, as your children were growing up, because I did, continue the story? Pretend that there
we
was
did the
Claus.
Thing with
Fool
the cookie.
Your kids. So
we
did
get
I.
the cookie. You did. You put out the cookie and you took a bite out of the cookie, and then you say Santa was there. So we did that.
I did that with my kids. My oldest claims that his mother, and we were divorced already, told him the truth that Santa didn't exist, so he knew. So I kind of figured my youngest, Alexander, when he was 3 and 4 and 5, and he would spend Christmas with me, that I would keep doing the cookie and the footprints and all that. But I figure he's just playing with me. He's just playing. I just assumed. But then I told him at like 7 or 8 or 9, well, you know, Santa's not real, right? He was devastated.
No kidding.
He was believing it the whole time.
This was 9 years old?
Well, I made up 9. But I just remember it was several years I'd been doing that, assuming that.
Well, you're a good actor, of course. You should congratulate yourself on going, what a performance. Well, it was so believable. My kids believed.
I took it to the max, because I hid every toy in places they wouldn't find. And I'd get up in the middle of the night and put them under the tree. I would do the footprints and eat the cookie.
Which brought up a memory that I have.
Yes.
Would you like to hear it, Doctor?
Yes, please.
So right out of school, I ended up for a few semesters at a school called Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, Illinois.
I know Southern Illinois. We play Southern Illinois at UNI. What? I didn't know this about you.
This is obviously it was a repressed memory that just
you went
came
to
back.
Southern Illinois.
That's correct. Now I'm a Jew from New York. Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go too backstory, but as quickly as I can say it is that I always intended from high school just to get into the television and film business. That was what. Yeah. And in those days, there weren't really schools. There were a few schools, which I ended up going to. Anyhow, so I had tried. I went into and with all any connections, I tried to get jobs in the business. I went to NBC. I knocked on their doors. I couldn't get a job. But now, at this point, it was the end of the summer, and every, all my friends now are going off to college, and this was now it's in September, and I got a job at this weird place, and I said, you know, fuck it, I'm not getting a job, I better just go away to college. Southern Illinois University had a very, very, very late admissions.
How did you find them, though? You just doesn't seem like that.
This was on a list from my guidance counselor, because Southern Illinois University had just built a communication center,
okay,
and they were advertising it to all school, all the, okay, guidance counselors around, and that was the draw, that they had built a television studio at Carbondale and this communication. So the guidance counselor recommended it to me.
Okay.
Anyhow, I go there and I make great friends. My roommates, everybody's terrific. And we're really bonded. We're just
You're
all together.
You're a friendly guy. Of course you made
friends. It was great.
You're easy to get along.
And then with. One best day. Friend. And then one day. Well, I'm, easy guy. Let's back off on.
No. It says so. Yeah. Oh, well, okay, it's on the internet. So.
All right. Well, then it's true. One day, we're all in one of our rooms, and we're laughing and having a conversation, and my Jewishness comes up. And somebody says, well, Kenny, you're obviously not 100% Jewish. And I was like, huh? Yeah. And I went around, and we had this conversation. I was like, no, my mother's Jewish. My father's Jewish. Everybody
that 100% Jewish.
My cousin's Jewish. I mean,
yeah.
It was never a question. I was taken aback because we're my best buddies. We were great friends. And we had this ongoing conversation, and then it became, wait a second, I need to get some kind of support from other people. So I went around to anybody else I knew, and I said, do you believe that I'm not 100% Jewish? And people go, yeah, you don't look Jewish. It was like, okay. And they asked everybody, and I was so alienated, I felt so isolated that it would really freak me out. Freaked me out that I really was at that point decided I had to get back. I had to get out of here because I hadn't realized how different that they really did see me.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden this came, not that they didn't like me or whatever, but their perception was that I couldn't possibly be Jewish.
Couldn't possibly be all Jewish.
Right. Anyhow, for Thanksgiving, and my roommate's name was John Stewart, not the John Stewart from that John Stewart, but his name was John Stewart.
Yeah.
And his father was the minister in Decatur, Illinois. Of the, okay, whatever the church, I guess, is a minister. I get confused with who's a minister.
It wasn't a Catholic church. It was a Protestant church.
Right, right.
Right.
So you know, so anyhow, I wasn't going to go back to New York for Thanksgiving for whatever reason. And he invited me to come back to Decatur, Illinois. And I walk into a situation. So now I'm telling like Zach, because they're all named Zach out there. I don't know why. And he's telling him and all the other guys, I'm coming down to your town, because they're all from Decatur, Illinois. And they go, that's fantastic. And they all start hyping. When you get there, we can't wait to introduce you to our Jew. They're having a big party, and they're going to play, and you'll meet our Jew.
And you'll
true story. But anyhow, before I meet the Jew, I go to John's house, and they're wonderful people, whatever. But it's Thanksgiving, and they do it like, oh, what they do is first you go to church.
Yes.
And his father gets up there and does the whole talking, and it's honestly quite boring, to be honest with you. It's just slow and boring.
Yeah.
And then you get back to the house, and it's 3:00, and that's when you have dinner.
Yeah.
3:00, boom. And it's and it's very Annie Hall, but it is very true.
Oh, I know. Where, this is the world I live in.
That night was going to be the big party. And I was going to meet the Decatur Jew. Okay? So I go out, and there's an outside party. I was an outside party. And so finally, they introduced me to this guy. I can't remember his first name, but I always remember his last name was Staley. Staley. And Staley were the richest people in Decatur, Illinois. And Staley owned the soybean facility. I don't know what they do with whatever the big soybean thing is out there. It's the Staley soybean farm.
Yeah.
I don't know. And they introduced me to the richest person in Decatur, one person, and he's the Jew. And they bring him over to me, and we shake hands, and he had a dark complexion, a long nose, and looked just like a Jew. And I'll tell you, Gary, I think I learned more from that situation than I have in everything else. You know why?
Right.
Because when people's lives opinions are shaped by their own personal experiences.
Right.
This was the only reference anybody in this town had to what a Jewish person was.
Well,
it wasn't
that
they were. It wasn't that they were anti-Semitic. It's just that they were. No. They had never been exposed. Have you heard in your circles anybody say anything anti-Semitic?
We don't have a large Jewish population. We probably have more Muslims here, and we have a mosque. And at the height of anti-Islam Muslim sentiment, it was defaced. Windows were broken. Right. There was a lot of activist groups going after Muslims here in my little, you know, village of Anatevka.
And that's what the holidays is all about.
Kenny, that was brilliant. I actually hope we're at an hour because that's the most perfect ending there's ever been. Well, it is what the holidays are all about. If we get to talk about it and we get to, you know, look, I still get in trouble if I say, if I don't say Merry Christmas to someone that wants to hear, if I say Happy Holidays, people go, oh, it's Christmas. Well,
oh, that's part of our war on Christmas.
The war on Christmas.
Yeah.
And I have said Merry Christmas to someone who corrects me and says Happy Hanukkah. And I don't like to
I could
everything
care less.
Generic.
I could care. If you said Merry Christmas.
I don't care.
Hey, you know
if
what?
You say
I'll
Happy
be
Hanukkah
merry.
To me. That's a, I celebrate Christmas. I don't care. It does not offend me one way. Just
it's incredible.
Me, tell me how you prefer. You know, the answer is to make everything generic. Happy Holidays. Well, I say that once in a while, but I'm actually fond of saying Merry Christmas. I'm fond of saying Happy Hanukkah. But
I basically repeat what's... I just boomerang what they send me. If they send me a Happy Holidays, they get a Happy Holidays back. They send me a Merry Christmas, they get a Merry Christmas.
Yes. I think that we're wired now, especially with the internet and all of these platforms to communicate and to get angry. We're wired to victimize ourselves. We're wired to be angry. We're being programmed to take offense.
Well, what we've done, which is the problem with Twitter, is we've let everybody get involved in the conversation.
In real time.
And everybody should not be involved in the conversation.
Well, just before our show here today, I was online saying why the Packers aren't winning this year. And I get, fuck the Packers. The Packers are a bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
All these things.
Yeah.
You know? Just based on the fact that they're Vikings fans or Bears fans. So we jump to these things. Anybody who's a Packer fan has hubris and they don't belong.
I never check Twitter, never. And when I do on occasion, because I'll get a notification that somebody talked about us on Twitter, I'll click on it. And I realize these people who I don't know, who I have no idea.
Yeah, right.
Why do they say this shit? But they're probably just saying this shit to get attention.
Yeah. Well, I've gotten in the habit of countering Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert.
Speaking
and
of
I actually I actually hear back on Twitter from Marjorie Taylor Greene. I will question her.
Well, you
research.
Don't think she's literally.
No, she probably isn't.
Right.
But I will, you know, challenge her research. And I've asked questions like, why do you choose to make politics like a high school, you know, wrestling match? Why don't you take leadership seriously and look for solutions? And I got a response back that, well, I do, and this is big, but you're right. It's probably not from her, but every once in a while I get an engagement with somebody. I'd like to think that someone in her camp says, oh, that guy from Iowa, he's trouble. That would make me so happy.
Now, here's the problem I have with these candidates I really have a problem with the 200,000 people that vote for them.
Yeah.
Marjorie Taylor Greene wrote, and going back to Judaism, wrote that the California fires were created by
a
laser.
Jewish lasers. A wealthy Jewish family.
The Rothschild.
Yeah, she got that from QAnon.
Yeah. So the fact is that people are voting for someone that believes that the Jews have a space laser.
If only!
That'd
be awesome. Pointed at Mar-a-Lago.
It's just phenomenal.
Use that laser.
That anybody can be
that stupid.
Can vote for that.
That vulnerable. Yes. Yeah, that's right. I've always said a Trump is going to come along. That's a granted. That's a given. They come along in history. It's the 40 million people who voted for him that are the problem.
Yeah, I think it's more revenge politics. They're not voting for him. They just hate us.
They hate us. Well, that has a lot to do with it. It's like it's like in the Georgia runoff between Warnock and Herschel Walker.
Yeah,
is Republicans saying we know that Herschel's not a you know a sharp tool, we just want someone to vote the right way, to vote against codify
Well, before we get into politics, let's try to stick with the holiday. So I want to know. So Christmas morning.
Yeah.
You come when you're coming down in your pajamas. Are there anybody over the house? The kids are going to be around the house?
Well, I get the kids. I've always gotten my kids are grown up now, so they can do whatever they want. But they always go to their mother's for Thanksgiving,
right?
Because that's when she brings in her family. So they, I have them for Christmas.
Okay,
and so
but they'll sleep over the night before.
Yeah, they come over Christmas Eve. We drink eggnog.
Oh no, my goodness!
Sing songs, have a nice time.
You know what? We should do a show. Holidays with the Krogers. We'll have all of you guys drinking. I'll be over here.
That'd be a great idea.
We'll be doing the show with the holiday party in the back. Let's do that.
Well, it just happened Christmas. So in the old days, they would spend the night, and I'd get up. And they're all the youngest is 17, so they're not coming down the stairs early for Santa Claus. In fact, I'm yelling up the stairs at 10:30, 11 o'clock, saying, "Come on, it's Christmas!"
All right, yeah.
But we'll sit around and exchange gifts. It's very simple, like a gift apiece. Now.
What music will you be playing?
I play Bing Crosby Christmas music. Mm. And I always have Bing Crosby Christmas. And Spike the Eggnog. And then I make a roast beast and a big Christmas dinner with my wife. And there's usually 10 or more of us at the table.
That sounds wonderful.
My favorite moment of the year.
Yeah.
Christmas
dinner. Yeah. It's true. It is true. And you know what? Would we have Christmas if the Jews didn't kill Christ? I mean, think about it.
Would he
have been such a big deal? I mean, you think about this. The retailers, the money they make on Christmas.
Of course.
The fourth quarter. They live off of Christmas. And you know what? A lot of that stuff came from the fact that the Jews killed him.
Well, yeah, they martyred him. You know, yeah.
So the day we kiss you, hey, Kenny, thanks for Christmas.
Well,
they should thank us for Christmas.
Well, of course we should. And Christ was Jewish. So, you know, of course we should thank you for Christmas.
Jeez, he was one of ours, huh?
But some will say that that's the
anti-Semitism
is over over that.
Yeah.
That it and, created
you know,
the
and ripple. I think, you know, and then what happened, you know, that the church forgave us. They didn't forgive us. Yeah. They said, oh, we were innocent. It wasn't the Jews. It was the Romans.
It was the Romans.
Right. And there's no Romans around anymore, are there?
No.
So we can blame the Romans.
No one they're going to listen to unless it's a recipe.
Yeah, fuck the Romans.
Fuck
yeah, exactly.
The Romans.
Yeah,
fuck
you can
the
do
Romans.
That. They're not around anymore. All right, so you want to wish everybody a very merry
Hanukkah, Christmas.
Yes.
And, well, we'll be back before New Year's.
Are you going to do a resolution?
Not anymore. I don't do them anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're pointless. Well, I'm going to count my calories. Yeah, until February 14th.
Ain't that the truth? Fuck the rebels. Fuck that, too.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah. Romans and resolutions.
Well, thanks for watching. Happy holidays. I can't say anything else right now. I don't know who's watching. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa.
I think you're covered.
Just living if you don't. You know, follow any of those faiths.
And, you know, but here's the thing. Now you have to do it for all the people of the different genders. So would you start with the non-binaries? Start with the non-binaries.
Now you just opened up a whole new
channel. Because then you have the theys. We wish you a happy holiday. We wish all of you a happy holiday. The whole thing, all 42 of you.
That's for another show, Kenneth. That's for another show.
Okay.
You can go down that path if we wish.
I just want to make sure everybody's included.
To all of you, be safe, be healthy. We wish you happiness and peace, no matter your faith or your non-faith. Be a good person. Be generous. Take care of those who are less fortunate. Be wise, and don't fucking vote for Trump.
Yeah, and don't forget to like us.
And don't forget to like us on YouTube. And we're on all of the popular podcast platforms.
Yeah.
So until next time, Kenneth? I bid you adieu.
Adieu. Thank you. Bye-bye.